I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact
I've
every
got
day.
A stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Any idea who we should call?
He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Most right now.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Doc asked you guys to send in, people on staff here, to send in their ailments, their aches and pains, and I changed the topic.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for
okay.
So we'll get to your ailments, aches, and pains, because they're not going away. But, Doc, there was so much news in the last week on silent heart attacks. I really think we need an explanation on this. We need to know what it is, and we need to know if there's anything we can do about it.
Yeah, so silent heart attacks, you make it sound like they're secret, and that's what we call them, silent heart attacks. But, in fact, what it is heart attacks that occur on somebody, but they don't recognize that the symptoms are symptoms of a heart attack. So they don't go to the hospital, they don't get treated, and they end up with damage from their heart. And we find out later when we do an EKG and we say, gosh, when did you have your heart attack? And they look at you like, what are you talking about? I never had a heart attack. When in fact, they did. They have damage in their heart that's been due to a heart attack that was never recognized. So they've had a silent heart attack.
Now, I have had one, or at least as close as you can get. I've never in my life experienced anything close to that kind of pain. It's absolutely a unique sensation that you never want. And over the course of your life, when you hear things like, well, it feels like somebody's sitting on your chest and your arm goes numb and you're nauseous or you're sweating or whatever, and you kind of have tough, I don't know about you, but you always have a tough time picturing, well, somebody sitting on your chest, I don't know what that's like. You do. I mean, it's definitive, it's all of that. So if these symptoms present themselves in a non-specific or harsh way, like what I'm describing, how do you know to go to the hospital? How do you know to get help?
That is the biggest problem because, you know, the symptoms, like you just said, chest pressure, arm pain, jaw pain, back pain, the biggest one, indigestion. So classic heart attacks are not classic in anybody. Anyone can have different symptoms, but you have to have that high index of suspicion as a patient, as a family member. When my dad had his heart attack, we didn't even know it. He left a party that we were all at, and he was driving home and said, you know what, I got a little indigestion. He pulled into a fire station, and they saved his life. He was having a massive heart attack at that time. So people need to understand that if you have some of these symptoms, go to the doctor and get checked out. Go to the emergency room and get checked out because the second heart attack is going to be the one that's going to be fatal.
So let's say that you've had a heart attack or maybe you've had two heart attacks. Obviously, yeah. Your suspicion's up, but can you still have silent heart attacks after that?
Sure you can because, again, the silence is that you're not understanding and you're not following or you're not recognizing the symptoms that are there. So, you know, you have arm pain. Well, you know what? I just played golf. I was out in the sun. I played golf. Of course my arm's going to hurt. But you know what? Every other time I play golf, my arm never hurt. You know, this weekend, you know, you go and you play in a volleyball game and you get a little chest pressure after you've been running around playing volleyball because you haven't done it in a while. Those are those signs that we need to find out early so we can do interventions so we can protect or minimize the damage that's done to the heart.
Time
is muscle is what we say.
The other thing that strikes me from this is because of the ridiculous nutrition that we have in this country and the way we all eat fast food and junk food and snack food, and we know one of the major problems is way too much salt. Everybody's got indigestion. Everybody's living on Tums or Prilosec or whatever the case may be. So I would think that masks a lot of what you're talking about, doesn't it? Because you think you're just having if I ate better, I wouldn't feel this way.
Absolutely. Indigestion is probably the biggest one because people have had indigestion. They just have this feeling that they almost can't describe, and it's kind of in their chest, right around there, you know, right by their stomach, but a little bit higher. So those are the ones that if you have indigestion, then get it checked out. Let's make sure it is reflux. Let's make sure it is an ulcer. Let's make sure that it's not a heart attack. People are having indigestion and you take two Tums. That really shouldn't change whether you're having a heart attack or not, but it could take away your indigestion quickly. If that indigestion stays there, that's the one. Get in. Once you have that diagnosis, you say, hey, you know what? Every time I eat pizza, I know I'm going to get this feeling. Okay, take some Tums. It goes away. It's not your heart. But those are the ones that I never have indigestion. Boy, why am I having it now? Those are the ones that we need to get in, because with interventions, whether it's medications or angioplasty, putting in a stent, all the way to bypass surgery, we're going to save that heart muscle and make it work and continue to work for the rest of your life.
We'll come back. We'll talk about a couple other things that Doc had going on this weekend in just a second, because he participated in a professional golf tournament. Look at this big shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And he was in his scrubs.
So big.
Scrubs.
Yeah. So versatile he is. One question from a listener, though. I'm quite certain I fractured a small wrist bone awaiting x-ray results. Does that type of thing heal without a cast?
It depends. There is one bone in the wrist that we're very, very, very concerned about, and it's called the navicular bone. And it's a bone that has very bad blood supply, and it sits right at the base of your thumb. So if that's the bone, often they will have to repeat an x-ray, but that cast may be needed. Other ones, you might get a small little chip off it, and there's nothing that they're going to do. But the navicular bone is one. If they told them in the emergency room that they were concerned it was a navicular, do not mess with that cast. Do not take it off.
All right, cool. It is 6:53. Dr. Kevin Most is with us. And, Doc, I've got a little bit of a mutiny going on in the staff because everybody thought they were going to get their own aches and pains dealt with today.
Cool.
But we can do that next Monday, can't we?
Yeah. Are you working next Monday? That's great.
All right. So we can do that next Tuesday, can't we?
Memorial Day.
Or can we just call you, Doc?
Dave, you know you can do that.
Okay, we don't get the we don't really get the show impact if we're doing that all off the air.
Correct. I guess.
Yeah, people would like to hear. Nothing in this audience will enjoy more than having everyone on the staff complaining about their aches and pains.
Right.
Whining.
Be fantastic. Over the weekend, you had a pretty cool experience. Tell people what you did.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to play in the BMW Charity Pro-Am down in Greenville, South Carolina, with my friend of close to 25 years, Chris Smith, and just a great experience, humbling, but very, very cool, and yeah, I couldn't have spent more time with a better friend, and it was really a family affair. David, my brother, caddied for me, and Cameron, his son, caddied for him, so we just had a hoot. It was great.
There's nothing quite like seeing how real talent play on a golf course. And if you've ever been lucky enough to be in a pro-am or just go into an event, you see how these guys actually hit it. And PGA Tour pro Chris Smith, PGA Tour winner Chris Smith, and I will back you up. Fabulous guy joins us on the phone from the metropolis of what town are you in Indiana?
The big metropolis of Peru.
Peru, Indiana, population?
A good day, about 12,000.
Yeah, depending on who's in town.
Depending on who's in town.
So what's your assessment of Doc's game after seeing it up close again?
Hold on, Steve. Hold on, Chris. One comment I want to make, and no one told me there's no gimmies.
my comment is I've been listening to your show this morning, and I want to ask my partner, can you have a silent heart attack that lasts 10 or 12 seconds? Because after watching a lot of his shots, and quite honestly, Steve, a lot of my shots, I had a lot of those symptoms several times over a 3-day span.
So it's when the ball's hanging in the air that really the silent heart attack can hit.
Yeah, it hits, and then it goes away when it's time to hit the next one. But we had a great time.
And it played pretty well yesterday. Didn't you shoot 66 in a final round or something?
I did, but it's... it was okay. It was a little easier knowing that we were going home on Sunday, so I was kind of relieved, and I think I played a little bit better on Saturday because we were going home and the madness was going to be over.
I shot 66 yesterday, and then I walked in after 13.
I'm telling you, Steve, that 66 could have been a 64, could have been a 63 easily. It was so – all I tried to do yesterday was get out of his way, and that was really easy when you keep hitting it right into the trees.
Well, Chris, you know this because you've been playing on TV forever, but there's nothing quite as cool as to see your friend, Dr. Most, on the Golf Channel as the pro-am partner leaving a putt 4 feet short. That was entertaining for me.
You know what the best part about it, though, was that he had a stroke on that hole, and so he lags. He hits a great shot into the green, and he lags his putt up there. And I was happy because I'm thinking, okay, he's going to two putt and make par for birdie. It's on TV. This is good. And so I had already putted in for par, and he looks at me, and he's going to bend over and pick up his mark. And I said, well, hold on a second, partner. You have a stroke here. And you could see the nerves. You can see he looked at me and he said, "Are you kidding? I have to putt this." And he poured it right in the middle.
Look at you.
I did get a lot of comments too as to why is my partner getting airtime and I didn't. But
yeah, there you go.
I think that it's because he's a bigger celebrity and a better player than I was this week for sure.
Oh, stop. Stop. You're going to let him get away with that, Kev?
No, I'm telling you, Steve, you know Chris, you've seen him play. He has got, if not the best swing, one of the best swings on the tour. And you know what the thing is, Steve, that I can't understand? They must use a different ball because I sat next to him on the range and hit balls with him. When it hits his club face, it makes a totally different noise than it's when it's.
And it goes farther and it goes where he wants it to go? One of those exactly. Fancy balls?
Exactly.
I don't know what they're using. Chris, how old were you when you started playing?
I was 4, actually, so I've been doing it a long time.
And your family has a public golf course there that everybody in Peru plays, right?
Well, not everybody in Peru. I actually probably get as much play from the Chicago area as we do from Peru. It's more of a destination location, but it's a really good golf course, and it's where I'm actually there right now, and I'm going to go out and practice and try to wipe out some of the stuff that I saw last week and get back on the horse.
So my point is, if you find yourself in that part of Indiana and you want to play a little golf, I want people to stop by. What's the course called?
It's called Rock Hollow Golf Club, and we're really about halfway in between Indianapolis and South Bend. And when I come down to or up to see you guys, we're about 2 hours and 20 minutes from where you're sitting right now, Steve.
Yeah, and you know what? I've never been down, so I got to come down and play, and I'll even pay full fare, and I never do that.
Well, you can come and play for free for sure, and I will say you're talking about I have seen you play. You and I have played together, and I've played a lot with Kevin, and when the dates for that tournament come out next year, I'm going to call you first and see if you're available, and if you're not, then I'll call Kevin, and we'll act like the conversation never happened.
I like the way he played that one. Chris, and let me just say one last thing about Chris, you know, there's athletes on all levels of professional sports where you go, well, here's an exception to the rule because here's a regular guy and a good guy. Chris Smith is every bit of that, and a great dad too. But the bottom line is you a lot of people pay a bunch of money every year to get into a pro-am here or there. And some pros, and Doc, you know this, some pros will just walk along, and maybe they say one or two things to him. Chris couldn't be more engaged. He talks to everybody. He helps them with their game. And I'm just very impressed with how you handle yourself on the golf course with folks that don't know what they're doing, like Doc and me.
Well, that's nice of you to say, but I enjoy it. You guys are two of my good friends, and you probably get a little different treatment than everybody else, but it's a great experience. Golf's a great game, and the opportunity for me to play with people that do other things is a lot of fun, and it's interesting. I look forward to it every time.
My best to your family, bud. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks. It's good talking to you guys.
Doc, thanks.
Take it easy.
Doc, we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Talk to you later this week.
Dr. Kevin Most. We're going to have him back later this week to talk about another very important topic, that being veterans health care, as we lead up to Memorial Day.